speaking of friends joining us in studio, friend of the show. You've been in here enough, man. It's officially a term that we have to use here. Jabari Greer is in with us again. Friend of the show.
Awesome. What's happening, everybody?
How you doing, man?
I'm great.
What a day yesterday was.
It was awesome. That was some good football.
That was incredible.
It really was.
It was incredible.
What the hell were my Pats doing, though?
That's a great question. That is a great question.
What is that? They don't do that stuff. That's for like a crappy team to do.
That's for Miami to
every
do.
Exactly. Every year in that game in Miami, they struggle. You know, I think they've lost they've won only one out of the last six meetings.
What are they doing? Going out before the game?
I mean, you know what? As a player, especially in that division, man, in the AFC East, when you see that game in November and December in Miami, you automatically think sunshine and beach. You do. I mean, even though you have a job to do, you understand that you'll be able to wear your tank top off the plane, you know? So you understand that. You feel that. It's like, you know, there is that sense of, okay, I can relax a bit. Because you're coming out of, in New England, I mean, what is it? It's what?
Cold.
Exactly. Yeah. Buffalo, it's freezing. So you see that and you realize, like, okay, I might have a little opportunity to get some sun.
Well, we were talking about Kawhi Leonard and kind of temperature and kind of lifestyle. How much do you think that's a factor in a guy's decision? Like, if it's a free agent and he's picking, like, is it something you care about? Would you want it to, like, what cold mark? Did you plan
a
cold?
Does weather trump winning? Like, would you pick a place just because of weather?
For me, it does.
I guess it depends. it depends on what stage of your career you're in, right? If you've made the money. If you have, you know, won a trophy, and of course I would spend the last two or three years of my career down in Miami or in San Diego, of course. But I think that there are certain things that as a player you have to accomplish first. You know, you have to be able to win, go to a winning organization. You have to be able to make as much money as you could possibly make. And you have to be able to have yourself in a, you have to kind of be able to secure your legacy a bit. You don't want to go. The worst thing to do would be to go to a warm weather losing city and basically lose all the luster of your legacy. You know, you look at how even though Joe Montana didn't go to a warm weather city, you go to the Kansas City Chiefs, and that decision kind of wears a little luster off of his great legacy, right? Mm. You have to really be you have to be aware of that as well.
Well, I saw Amari Cooper do that interview with Aaron Andrews post game yesterday, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved watching him express what it's meant to be a Cowboy. Now Dallas is relatively warm this time of year, and he's coming from the Bay Area, but he just said, you know, when I grew up dreaming of playing, this is the kind of atmosphere I expected. This facility, this type of fan base. He mentioned the buzz in the city. And obviously winning games helps, because ever since he's gotten there, they've taken off. I think they probably secured the East yesterday. Three touchdowns. You know, he was incredible yesterday, including the OT winner. But I loved hearing that from him, that being a Cowboy meant something to him. And being in a market where football is alive and football is everything has been, you know, very, very attractive to him.
I kind of felt the same thing, Brian. I grew up watching the Toronto Maple Leafs, knowing how important it is here. And then somehow through my trials and whatever, I end up in Carolina commuting to Greensboro, playing in front of 2,000 people. I was like, I'm not in the NHL right now.
Right.
I'm not in the NHL right
now. In Oakland, the way things have been going recently, you know, they've got a rich history, a long history, but it's not a good spot.
Oh, no, man. So Oakland was always known, where the Raiders were always known in my time, was the players' retirement home, where good players go to die. That's one thing we used to understand. Like, when you got a mega contract with the Oakland Raiders, you know, we understood that you were securing your second beach home somewhere off the Cayman Islands, but you weren't going to win a trophy. You weren't going to win. Your name was probably going to get dragged through the mud. And there's been a lot of players, even before the winning season they had last year, it's been a lot of players who went there under the guise of, you know, securing some type of financial legacy for their family, which has ultimately backfired and kind of tarnished their name.
Chicago Bears are thinking that they might have what it takes to win a trophy this year. It might be cold in Chicago, but they got a pretty good defense going there.
Yeah, they do.
After yesterday's game against the Rams, are they for real? Like, are you believing in these guys in the NFC?
I do. I think the key for them, and a lot of the young teams that are doing really well in the NFL right now, especially like the Chargers. Like, these teams have to do everything they can to get home field advantage for the playoffs. Because there is something to be said about going to Seattle. There's something to be said about going to Chicago, especially in the middle of the winter, mm-hmm. and having to play the Chicago Bears, a streaking Chicago Bears. As the 2006 New Orleans Saints had a dynamic team, went to Chicago, played the Bears, 2006, 13 degrees Fahrenheit. I can't convert Celsius that fast, but it's
not good.
Sub-zero temperatures.
And no matter who you have at quarterback, no matter who you have offensive line, you feel that weather. So the Chicago Bears are for real. But if they can win this thing out and probably in hope and pray to the football guys that some of these bigger teams lose some games so they can get home field advantage, that's when we'll see they actually have a real opportunity at the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, it really does come down to Soldier Field, Chicago, winter. Because you're right. I mean, at this point, the Rams and the Saints. Rams, you're outdoor in L.A.
Exactly.
Saints, you're indoors in New Orleans. You know, like that doesn't mean Khalil Mack isn't going to still do damage, and that defense won't continue to do damage, and Kyle Fuller is going to be ball hawking like he has been all year. But it is different.
It definitely is very different. I remember when I played in Buffalo, you know, year round, and we were there, and it would get December. And people thought just because we played there, we were used to the weather. You know, I remember waking up from the hotel and looking outside and seeing, you know, the snow flurries are coming down, that lake effect snow. I never knew what lake effect snow was until I moved to Buffalo. And then you would think you would have certain people on your team that love the snow. You know, these kids, these old linemen that would go out there without their shirt on, they're like, woo, let's go, baby. We get out there for warm-ups. And it was the most incredible thing. It's like, this is what football is about. I cannot believe I'm playing in the elements. And then at the end of the first quarter, you're like, man, forget this. I'm ready to go home.
Yeah. Cold. You're frozen.
Cold.
Yeah. I can't feel your hands. You can't feel your feet. When I'm watching it, I think about sitting in my toasty, warm living room with like my cozy blanket pulled up and seeing all these fans too, like the fans
it's
in Chicago,
the fans
in Green Bay, and they are frozen, and they got their frozen noses. You've been in there; they've been out there for 4 hours,
and the players
and they're
in their
loving
heated
seats. It. Yeah. And I'm thinking, man, I would not pay to be sitting in that freezing cold right now. I don't want to be anywhere than where I am right here in my living room watching it.
Absolutely,
that's what they call bandwagoners. Bandwagon fans,
or
not
soft.
The real deal.
Soft.
Yeah.
We're all soft, and we love it. I have no problem with admitting that. I'm not. I have no interest in going to a game.
You know how hardcore?
No way.
Oh man, some of those fans are incredible.
They are incredible.
Yeah, incredible.
And speaking of, you know, tough weather outdoors, you know, we were talking a little bit about this in the previous hour. The Packers, they got a win. They got a response. Their season's over. They're not catching the
Bears.
I don't think they're getting into that second wild card. But as you're watching that game yesterday, and Joe Philbin, who's knocking off the rust, hasn't been on the sideline in quite some time, uses both of his challenges and loses both of them. A minute 23 into the game.
Yeah.
What was running through your mind? Because I was starting to panic.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's going to have to retire at half.
Of course. I mean, when you see that and you take into account how his coaching career kind of derailed after the Miami Dolphins, you're kind of like, oh, here we go.
Right.
Old Joe. Old Joe's back now.
Yep.
So, but fortunately, he has Aaron Rodgers, right? He has a guy. And Aaron Jones had one of those games yesterday. And I think that he's smart enough to understand what hasn't worked. And obviously we know there was a report last week that Aaron Rodgers would often go up to the line and change the call at the line. So not only could Mike McCarthy not get into a rhythm, but there's reports that there was kind of like this one upsmanship game between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. That being said, I'm sure that after Mike McCarthy's firing, Aaron Rodgers, the all-pro, all-world player he is, was like, you know what, maybe I should, you know, straighten up a fly right. Maybe I should run the things that Joe Philbin's called. So I think Joe wanted to be aggressive, going out the gate, understanding that he needs his team on his side. But the players that needed to have big games had big games. You finally get the ball to Aaron Jones. He has over 100 yards. This is a guy that should be an all-pro player right now. And I think that, I mean, even if I got the job at Green Bay, I could see that there need to be changes.
Jabari Greer, NFL analyst, longtime NFLer in studio. You've been on the Mahomes for MVP bandwagon for a long time. You're driving that thing, and
yeah,
you have
it's not a bandwagon anymore, man.
No, it's not. Although it was weird though, because
minibus.
prior to that game was it on Thanksgiving or the week after Thanksgiving,
yes,
when Breeze went into Dallas and really didn't do much. This weekend he got a win, but it felt like it was just a foregone conclusion. Everyone was going to hand Drew Brees the MVP.
That's right.
Doesn't feel that way anymore.
Not at all.
And now after what Mahomes did yesterday, it feels like this guy's back in the driver's seat.
But we talked about this, right? We talked about it's really about primetime games. And the last primetime game that the Saints had, they didn't look good at all versus the Dallas Cowboys. Drew looked like he suffered. And I think that in the minds of not only fans but of voters, there's this sense of his humanity. Like, this guy isn't a superhero. I remember there's actually been some articles in New Orleans. Like, obviously, they love him. Everybody loves him there. And he's a great player. They should love him. There was articles regarding his superhuman ability, you know, how he's painting him like Superman-like. And so to see his humanity in this game and to see Patrick Mahomes, the way he was slinging that ball yesterday. I mean, everybody saw those no-look passes.
What is that, the
no-look
pass?
This is a guy, man. This is mastering your craft at the highest form. To be able to look off, this is first year playing, right? This guy is essentially a rookie quarterback.
But usually the guy looks the guy off, and then they look.
This
at
is
the
a
target.
Season. That's a season veteran move. That's Brett Favre is doing this year 16, year 15. I mean, Joe Montana's doing this later on in his career. This is a guy that has such a command not only on the offense, but of his position and the route concepts, that he is making the hard throws look easy. And he's doing it without even looking. So I know that he's having fun. But the primetime game in which he's playing and with the eyes of the world on him, he's able to show that he is a real contender for this MVP race. Like, this guy is it kind of concerns me that this is the year that he's doing it, because this is kind of like one of those farewell tour for Drew Brees. It's like, you know what, we gotta get this guy something,
right? It's a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, it's like you actually said it a couple weeks ago. This guy's been great for so long, we have to do something.
Because Brees has never won the MVP.
He's
right?
never
no,
won
he
the MVP.
Yeah,
and now Patrick Mahomes is blowing up, and we're like, okay,
this is a problem.
Yeah, this is a
problem.
Talk
about the big game. So I mean, that was the same when they played the Rams, when it was Mahomes and Goff, and we're like, yeah, is he gonna wilt? What's gonna happen? And that was one of the best games.
And he came.
Ever.
He did that against the Pats too. Remember? Pats, now they were both losses. They lost to both those games.
But as far as his performance,
absolutely,
you couldn't have asked for more.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And
he's doing things on the field, like you said, that like maybe we've seen him before, but not from a guy who was essentially redshirted and is now a rookie. You know, like it's wild what's going on with this guy. What about the Steelers though? What's up with them? I mean, they've lost three
dramatic
in a row now.
Dramatic change.
Yes, and Tomlin not happy.
No,
you know,
not
at all. I liked what he, you know, no excuses. They were trying to put it on a platter for him, blame the field, and he said, I'm not doing that. You know, Oakland played on the same field, and they found a way to beat us. What's up with Pittsburgh here?
Well, you know, I think that's incredible character by Mike Tomlin, because I think I would have took that bone. Like, you know what, that field sucks. I would have took the bone. But that being said, the Pittsburgh Steelers, so in looking at breaking down what's going on with them lately, they haven't been able to run the football. You know, James Conner got injured last week, but even before that, their last three losses, they've only been averaging 60 yards on the ground. So in their six-game win streak, where they looked dominant, they looked as if they were the best team in the AFC, they averaged 120 yards on the ground. James Conner looked like a real contender for a Pro Bowl slot. That being said, over the last 3 weeks, they haven't been able to run the football. Big Ben, if you notice, he's been injured each one of these games. He's had to take some time out. That disrupts the continuity of the offense. That, you know, throws Josh Dobbs in there, interferes with what's going on with the receivers. Like, all these things kind of have a trickle-down effect. And I think that it starts with the running game. It starts with making sure that Big Ben is not standing in the pocket too long. How many times have we seen Ben Roethlisberger stand in the pocket 4, 5, 6 seconds? Like, man, get rid of the ball, have faster routes or something. They need to be able to create an offense that gets the football out of Ben Roethlisberger's hand faster, because his body's breaking down towards the end of this season.
He's a mess all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, we were joking about it. He's not in shape necessarily.
Oh, no, not at all.
But it doesn't really matter because, you know, he's not. It's not like he's winded and that's why he can't play. He takes such a beating and his body can't hold up. And this is why every single year he threatens retirement.
Yeah,
right.
You think this could be it for him though?
I think last year we're finally getting to the point. I think that as a media outlet and also just as a fan, we're getting to the point where like, you know what, Ben, you may be right. You know, yeah, like before we didn't believe him. I don't think we believed him. Like, okay, whatever, Ben, you still, you know, you want another ring.
You got money, too. You still got money coming to you.
You'll come back because Pittsburgh needs you. But I think we're at the point right now where people are starting to say, like, okay, we might need to start looking at some contingency plans because his body is breaking down. And I realized I was 33 when I was done. And, I mean, this guy, we're the same age. What, he is 36, 37. Mm-hmm. There's no way that you're playing in Pittsburgh in these cold temperatures at 36 years old and your body's not breaking down. You look at what's going on with Darren Sproles. I mean, there's time and time again, these colder weather teams, when you have these older players, the body breaks down faster than you would if you were playing in Miami or Houston.
Always great seeing you. Thanks for popping in the studio.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Big Monday nighter tonight, too, right? I mean, Seattle mini. Who are you leaning?
I like Seattle, man.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, I love Seattle because you got dangerous, you know, dangerous Russ Wilson. This guy can make anything happen. But, man, when they're streaking, they play well. But when they have that home field advantage, man, that is one stadium that is almost impossible to win. I can't stand going. I mean, I feel like there's three stadiums that, as a fan, you have to go to. You got to go to the Superdome if you want to party. You got to go to see Jerry's World if you want to see the technological advances of what's going on in football now. And you got to go to the Seattle Seahawks Stadium to get a real experience of how loud that stadium can be. And they have the loudest stadium besides the Kansas City Chiefs.
I was going to say, Kansas City's got that rep, too.
It is, yeah. So Kansas City's like that. But I've never actually played in Kansas City. That was the one game.
Really?
That was the one stadium I haven't played in. I got injured. But I've played in Seattle a couple times, man.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
Great seeing you. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
There's longtime NFLer, Super Bowl champ, and our TSN NFL analyst, Jabari Greer, in studio.